The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WFMD.
It's Success Happens on 930 WFMD, blending business and politics. Success Happens with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning and welcome to Success Happens. It's great to be back here in Frederick with you. And wow, what a week. Oh, my goodness. So as you know, last week I reached out to you all from Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was the most extraordinary couple of days I've done in decades. I had the pleasure of meeting General Mike Flynn, Mike Lindell, Jeffrey Prather. Jeffrey's going to be on with us. He and I hit it off really well. Really neat guy. What a story in his life in dealing with the deep state, I don't know, 10 years before General Flynn did. So he's going to come on with us. He's an author. And so I made all these connections with people who are dying to talk to you all. They want to come on this show and talk to you all and share with you their experiences, their ideas, their philosophies, and frankly, a lot of facts that aren't getting out there. Excuse me. There's truth that we have to share. And we're in a really unique position. If you think about it, here on 930 WFMD, I have the pleasure of working with the local talent here, but we also have access to people from the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area who are experts in their field in things like, I don't know, you know, cyber, human trafficking, Department of Justice. We had, you know, Dr. Mike Bork, which was a fabulous show about human trafficking. So we have access to people who can bring you real information that you're not going to hear elsewhere, okay? So I just want to really thank you all for listening. Please share our show. We have the podcast. We also now have Success Happens on YouTube. So we want you, and we're going to try to go to live streaming. That's something coming in the future. We are working on putting together a midweek podcast. So we are going to expand our reach and our megaphone. But we need your help to share the show and make sure people know we're here, okay? But we are definitely reaching across the nation. I've had calls all week from people who want to work with us, okay? So good things are happening. So and in the midst of that, I learned that we had something going on locally that we all need to be concerned about. And yes, it has to do with COVID. And yes, it has to do with education. And it's shocking to me that we are still living under a rock of misinformation. And I'm going to say also omission. It's not only what people tell you that's flat out a lie or wrong and misleading, but it's what they don't tell you. And, you know, we can go back to, I don't know, the information about Hunter Biden in the last election that was totally MIA. So we are here to tell you the truth, and I brought with me today Seth Eisenberg, who is a former candidate for Board of Education, and Seth has a unique perspective because he's first of all, passionate about education, or he wouldn't run for the board, right? That kind of comes with the territory. But also, he is active in the community here as a leader, trying to activate people in the conservative club in Frederick County. And so we will have him with us today. And also I'm going to have Brad Young with us. So I'm actually going to start with Brad Young, who's the former president of the board, for him to give you some perspective from his eyes and ears about the situation. And then we're going to talk with Seth. Okay, so we're giving you both sides of the aisle. All right. And so first of all, let's start with Brad Young. Good morning, Brad. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Jen.
Great to have you with me and I and us. And, you know, I just want to thank you. You are always accessible to me. And as I, you know, we don't always agree, and that's okay. I don't always agree with my own father or husband, happens, you know. So I'm okay with that we don't agree. You know, some people get really tweaked about it. I'm okay that we don't agree. But I also respect you immensely, and I know your heart is for the kids. And or you wouldn't have done this for years that you've done. So we appreciate your leadership. And I wanted you to give us the perspective from the board of what you were up against. And I want to say this is probably where we're not going to agree, so I'll say it so you don't have to. The unions are out of control. The unions are out of control. And listen, they're never going to endorse me, and I'm A-OK with that. If I ever run and they don't endorse me, I'll consider it a badge of honor, okay? But they have to get out of the way of the work to be done by the teachers with the parents to educate our kids. They need to get out of the way. And right now they're being extremely self-serving. So please go ahead and give us your perspective, and welcome.
Thank you. And real quick, I just wanted to give a quick shout out. I'm out here on sitting on Route 40 in front of the old Fredericktown Mall. If there's any young lady, unfortunately, schools are not having proms this year, but the parents have gotten together in many schools and are doing them outside. If you need a prom dress, we have 150 beautiful dresses out here that Macy's donated to us that we're giving out. We already have about 30 young ladies out here right now looking at dresses. So if you need one, no questions, no forms, no guilt, come on out here. We'll help you out.
That's
so
cool.
What happened?
Thank you. Hold on. Wait, I'm going to back you up on that. I love Macy's. Go Macy's.
Yeah.
I love Macy's. Macy's. They are always so generous to the community. So great. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So what happened is a week ago, Wednesday, the board met, and I made several motions that were passed. The first motion was that we bring back elementary kids. Actually, the first motion was that we lower the distance in elementary schools from 6 feet to 3 feet per CDC guidance, and we passed that motion. The second motion that I made was that we bring all elementary kids back effective May 3rd, and that motion passed on a 4-3 vote. I also made a motion that we allow all seniors, since we weren't bringing high school kids back, because I made the motion to bring all kids back. That did not garner 4 votes, so it did not pass. So then I made another motion that we allow all high school seniors to come back so they can have one day together for their end of the year, and that passed and still is in effect. And then I made another motion that we go back 5 days a week full-time in the fall so that parents can know that their kids will be back full-time this fall, and that motion passed as well. Subsequent to that happening, the union met, and they did a vote of no confidence in the board, and basically said that we were violating their MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, which required the 6 feet distancing. And so subsequently
Hold on, Brad.
Yeah.
You got a lot in there. Let's unpack it for a second, okay? Because I want people to really get what you just said. They gave you, how ironic, a vote of no confidence.
Yes.
How ironic. I mean, I have a vote of no confidence in the union for the fact that they don't care about these kids and they don't care about the parents who are having to sacrifice money for their family because they can't put a full day of work in.
Right.
Or all the impacts on the employers who are trying to be compassionate to their workers and understanding, while getting crushed by, I don't know, the administration here who's got us masked and 6 feet apart and unable to do a good day's work. So don't tell me about vote of no confidence. I have no confidence in that union.
Right. And what I'm going to say is, and people need to understand, unions represent the teachers. They don't represent the students. And so I have no problem with the standpoint that they're doing what they know that their job is, but we have to separate the two. My duty is to do what's best for students. And in the event when that conflicts with what their needs are, I'm always going to err on the side of students. And that's what I did in this particular case. And so once it was clear that the changing of 6 feet was a violation of the MOU, they certainly filed a grievance, and that grievance process would have taken quite a while. And ultimately, the objective of getting students back would not have happened. So the board remet, and we rescinded the motions that we had made to allow for the unions to sit down with the school system and figure out how we can get kids back. So right now it's on them. They all stood up at the meeting and said, we want kids back just as much as you.
They who?
Now it's their opportunity to prove it.
They who said they want all kids back to school? The
representatives of the unions.
Okay, so
they came to public comment at our meeting Wednesday and said, we're not against having kids back. We want kids back. We just don't like the fact that you didn't honor our contract and our agreement. And so what I'm saying now is now it's on you. We've honored the contract because we rescinded the vote. Now sit down in good faith and get the dang kids back in school.
Well, it sounds like brilliantly played by you guys. And I can't, you know, for me, I just know too much about this whole COVID thing to buy into the nonsense that they're perpetuating. And I think that there's an ulterior motive that the union is fighting for, striking for, that has nothing to do with kids or, frankly, teachers. And I don't know what it is, but I don't trust them. And I think that we as parents and we as teachers, you know, those of us who are parents, teachers, some of them are both, need to stand up to this union and say, you know what, so what? We're asking you to change it to 3 feet. Adjust your contract. That's done all day long. Or is it a little too complicated for you guys to figure out how to modify the contract? I mean, you know, saying that it's a violation to me is sticking to something that's self-serving for them, and it does not serve the teachers, and it does not serve the parents, and it does not serve the children.
Right, and ultimately, again, my objective is to get as many kids back. I'm sitting here with a smile on my face because I'm looking across at the young ladies holding up dresses, getting ready to, and the smiles on their face. Those same smiles are on kids as they go back to school. Yeah. I've watched these young kids and getting back into school. The social-emotional toll that is taken on so many young people is just devastating, and they need to be back in school, and we have to find a way to do that. So as I said, right now, it's on the unions because it's up to the unions to sit down and say, we're willing to do this to get more kids back into school sooner rather than later. And again, I will be at every meeting from here until it happens, talking about our plan and making sure that we're ready to have 5 days a week, full-time class this coming fall, because I've already gone on record to say if it doesn't happen, I will resign.
Okay, so hold on. So wait, we don't want you resigning. You're the only person I can talk to over there. Okay, so let's just say this, okay? I think the teachers have to stand up to their own union. It's time for the teachers to say, you do not represent me, and quit worrying about the politics of it. Because during that politics, kids are suffering, and that's not what the teachers are there to do. They know it, and we know it. That's not their heart. So until the teachers and the parents lock arms and walk in and they start marching and say, you know what, union, get out of our way. Until we start standing up to them, we are beholden to them. And I know there are teachers, because when I shared this with you offline, when I ran for office, I can't tell you the number of teachers who said, I can't come out publicly to support you because there will be retribution because I'm a conservative within the system. I have another friend of mine who worked in the system who was dinged for being a conservative and not playing the politics. Yeah. So it is reprehensible, and it must be over. And it's really going to take the parents and the teachers, everybody listening. Hear me. Yes. You got to rise up. Go ahead.
And Jen, I don't think it's totally a conservative liberal thing, because I have several liberal teachers who have reached out to me and said we need to have the kids back. So it's not strictly a party line or philosophy issue. But from the standpoint of the union, they're doing what they're – and again, we have to be clear. The union's job is to get everything and represent their teachers. That's what their job is. That's what they get paid for. And if they don't do that, they know the teachers won't pay their dues, and that's part of what their duty is, and I don't begrudge them for that. My interest is in getting kids back, and that's the sole interest that I have. And you're right, there are great teachers want to get kids back in school. You know, I've been out and seen, I go out, and I'll name drop one teacher, Mr. Phil Arnold out at the Career and Technology Center. Here's a man who's battled a number of very serious illnesses. And I go out to his CAD class. He's in there, his gloves on, his mask on, because he said, I need to be here for my students, and they need me to be here, and I'm willing to do that. And so teachers, we have so many great teachers in Frederick County, we're blessed, that want to be in the classroom. They want to be in front of their kids. We need to do everything possible to give them the tools to do that and to do it safely.
Well, hold on. So let me say this. I 100% agree with you that it's not a party thing. And there is a small group of people right now, and it's not just in the educational system, across this country, pods of people who are doing great harm. They're doing great harm. And when we talk about specifically in this instance, these kids, those teachers, those union people are looking out for one thing. Because unions rely on membership dues. If they don't get the money, and they don't have to get the money anymore, people can opt out.
Yeah.
So I'm calling on the unions to do the right thing, because I know the teachers and parents and the board want to do the right thing. So I'm gonna publicly say here, you know, I have confidence in you. That's why I asked you to be on the show, and I have confidence in your board to, in this instance, do the right thing. So the union is the one that needs to get in line and cooperate, and they're not cooperating. So I want to thank you, Brad. Go back to taking care of those girls. That is just such an awesome thing you're doing.
And again, thank you, Macy. So many beautiful dresses here. They also gave us a lot of suits. Our young gentlemen that are in our mentoring program have beautiful young suits that they can wear. We gave a lot of those out back for Easter so they could go to Easter service with their nice-looking suit on. But like I say, just watching the young ladies over here, knowing that they're going to have a beautiful dress to wear to prom is just it's an amazing thing. And thank you to my good friend Ajay and I Believe in Me for continuing to deal hope out here. We served 410 cars food this past Monday. And, again, hearing the stories of how COVID's impacted their ability to work, they need to get their jobs back. They need to get back to work. But again, it's great to be able to help them until they can do that.
Thank you, Brad. Thank you for all you do. You're wonderful. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Okay. You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay. So I think what we're going to do is go to a quick break, and then we'll come back with Seth Eisenberg. I want to thank you, the listeners, for being a part of this and for sharing the truth. It's going to take all of us working together to start to combat these issues. I'd also like to thank Sweeties on the Creek. We're scooping now. And Dianovich & Associates, a great security company. And also Kira Nguyen with KW Photography and Design has been amazing for me. I'm very pleased with the work she's done on my website. Check it out, charltoncommunications.com. Our Success Happens YouTube page she's fabulous. So we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dave Dianovich, owner of Dianovich & Associates, a global security company. We offer top security professionals with vast law enforcement and military experience on rapid deployment to protect property and lives. With the current climate in our communities, we continue to deal with widespread protesting that can turn violent. Our team is available to protect you, your family, your business, regardless of the coverage you need. Call us at 866-476-1703, or you can visit us at DEANOVICH.com. Our mission is your survival.
When was the last time you had fresh homemade ice cream? Sweeties on the Creek is making ice cream. Stop in and taste our fresh-made selections, including dairy-free and all-natural flavors. Enjoy a fresh cup of coffee with a creamy shaker sundae. Taste a new fun flavor or an old yummy favorite. Sweeties, fresh made from cow to cone. Sweeties on the Creek, just up from Market Street. We're scooping now.
Happy weekend!
It's a free talk weekend on 930 WFMD.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Seth Eisenberg, who is a former candidate for the Board of Ed and somebody who is actively involved in community issues and concerns. And when I started talking to you about some, somehow we got connected, and somebody said, you know, this educational issue is a big deal.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Fred.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate Fred Profiter for connecting us on this. And so first of all, welcome to Success Happens. This is your first time here.
Yep. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. And let's start by telling people, why did you run for the Board of Ed? What was your background that really made sense for you to pursue that role as a public servant?
I guess the biggest part of my background that would have driven me into doing this was when I was in the military.
thank you for your service.
Oh, you've got to thank me. It was a privilege. But being in the military, I saw how things can run when people who are in charge take charge. When you have good people at the helm, no pun intended, when you have good people running the show, things are beautiful. It's like a finely oiled machine running, and that's how I want things for kids especially to be. They shouldn't have to be stressing over the things that they're stressing over now. What they're stressing over now is like adult issues. That's not fair to them. We need to let kids be kids, and that means being in school. That means interacting with other children. That means playing and doing things outside, not being told, you know, you could get really sick if you get too close to Johnny, so wear this mask and put this sheet in front of you and stay in the house and you can't go to school, but still be a kid.
Yeah, it's a bit of a terrorizing kind of experience.
It's like psychological warfare almost. This is what you would do to somebody you were in a combat with. You would do these things to them to demoralize them and put fear in them. And it's not what we should be doing to children at all.
Well, we agree on that. So when you look at or listen to what Brad just shared, you know, there were some legal aspects to why they had to handle things. And as he said, you know, by the time they went through all of the rigmarole of the legal battle, the school season would be over. So what do you say in terms of where we are today? I mean, we are where we are, but, you know, I don't know if you want to expound on the union, my dissertation on the union or whatnot. Go ahead.
When we talk about this current situation in the schools, my response is this has been going on too long. Why are we now at the 11th hour going back on what we wanted to do to begin with? This should have been handled a year ago. They should have been in their school systems have never really missed a beat. And there's no major outbreaks. Schools are not the super spreader that they thought they would be when this first happened.
Well, kids aren't even prone to getting
exactly.
it as like adults are. And I think, you know, I want to say something. Governor Hogan announced schools going back in March.
Yes.
So what the heck happened in Frederick County? And, we have people listening in West Virginia and Southern PA and
right.
Northern Virginia and over to, you know, Montgomery and Howard and so forth. So it's not just a Frederick County issue. Everybody has their version,
yes.
right, of how they've implemented or not getting our kids back to school. So what do you say about, I think you said you brought some statistics with us. So why don't you share some of that factoid stuff?
One of the biggest studies that stood out to me was by Dr. Hoag, who worked for the CDC, and he led a study in Wisconsin a while ago. I think it was 4 or 5 months ago. And the community he did a study in, that community had a 41.6% infection rate for COVID. Almost half the people in the community had it. The schools had substandard ventilation systems as required by the CDC to keep the COVID from going in schools. And they found, with all that in mind, only 9 students total in that school district tested positive for COVID and no faculty at all. So the ventilation system is like they're saying, you know, you need to upgrade it. Obviously, you don't. This is just fear mongering. Fear is another form of control. If you can make somebody afraid, you control them because they're going to come to you because they figured if you're telling them the bad thing, you have all the good stuff too.
Well, I want to say that I think there are some validity to upgrading the quality of our school buildings.
Yes.
I mean, if there's HVAC issues, you know, I'm a big believer actually in something the comptroller brought up, which was, you know, dealing with the public schools that were, destroyed. Really, they were no AC and heating. And so whatever it was they had all going on, HVAC systems were really bad. And these kids were in the sweltering heat.
Oh, yeah, like Baltimore City.
In Baltimore City.
Yeah.
You know, it was terrible. It was terrible. So, you know, certainly we need to address that. But back to this situation in terms of restoring kids to school, when they look at the quality, and I you know, maybe this is something we could have asked Brad, but the quality of education relative out of school, relative to what they would get in school, is there any study that you know of about the decline in the quality of the education? Because I have a firsthand testimonial,
right.
and I've shared it many times. My son was failing. He's in a private school. We kept him out in August, September, and he was failing. He was 5 Fs. This is a kid who was straight A's and B's for
wow.
eight semesters in a row at this school. So, you know, we all got together with the leadership at the school and decide, and they actually approached us to their credit. They said, you know, we're really concerned this isn't going well. Well, we didn't even know his grades were failing until they shared it with us, right? Because they hadn't given us the report card yet. So the point being, but he was very depressed, very depressed. And so the psychological impact of it was horrible. And I'm thinking that was 1 month. The poor kids in these public schools have been going through this for 10, 11? Oh, my goodness, 10 months?
Well, I mean, if you look at studies nationally, suicide attempts and drug use and obesity and depression among school-age students is never been higher. And I'm not blaming it all on not being in school, but that's part of the problem. I mean, socialization for young people is just as important as learning how to read and write. That social aspect helps them form who they're going to be when they grow up. If you take that away from them, they're by themselves. And then they get depressed because nobody's an island. We need to be around people. That's why there are cities and towns. People don't live in the mountains by themselves because they know they can't flourish that way. They can't grow. They can't become a better person. They need to be around other people. We've taken that component away from kids. And then we're shocked when we hear things like, you know, suicide attempts are up. Well, why? Well, that's crazy. No, this is a direct result of what's going on, and it affects education. I mean, if you look at Frederick County schools, the number of people pulling their kids out of schools to homeschool is going up, and I can't blame them. I mean, it's not a knock on teachers because I love teachers, but going back to what you said, it's the union. They have entirely too much sway. They have entirely too much power, and people pay that too much mind to them.
Let's talk about this Apple. You know, they endorse. See, this is where I think we, the voters, really need to get wise about this. Okay. They endorse people, and we think that their voice, the credibility of the union behind a candidate, ensures that we're getting the best candidate for the Board of Ed. It is laughable.
Yeah.
It is laughable because all they are doing is putting their cronies in place that they know will support them when they need to call upon them in times such as this to do what they're told to do by the unions. So now this Board of Ed, acting in good faith, as Brad said, on behalf of the kids, gets a vote of no confidence. I think that's laughable. I think that's hilarious. We need to really look at what the heck, George, as my grandfather would say, is going on with the unions that they have that kind of power and control over you, parents, children, and teachers. If I was a teacher, I'd be like, are you kidding me?
Well, I think it also goes back to what you said before, that if a teacher is conservative or just has a different viewpoint of the union and they speak out, they're attacked by the union. I've had teachers tell me, hey, look, I agree with what you say, but I can't say anything because if the union hears it, I got to deal with them. They will bully teachers into going along with the program. Or they freeze them out.
You know, we talk about socialism and communism here. And to me, the unions represent communism in play right now in our society. Because if you can't, as a teacher, speak up to the people who you pay money to, let's get the absurdity of this.
Right.
You pay money to them to represent you, but you can't speak up to them or they'll get mad at you.
Yep.
I mean, that's crazy. So, I mean, I think there's a whole redo here that is needed desperately on the unions, and it's going to take an act of courage. Now, I'm going to say something. So, to all the teachers who are listening, okay, and all the administrators who think that you have to kowtow to that union, okay, they're probably going to like toilet paper my house or something, but. A mass of people joining together in one united voice against the tyranny of that union will break it up. It might not destroy the union, but it will break up their power and control over you.
Oh, yeah.
And we did this, and I'm going to remind you because it's my personal experience that I keep drawing on saying it worked. Is we got together a group of restaurant owners who similarly were afraid that if they spoke up, they'd be dinged by the liquor license board, they'd be shut down by the health department, or some other retribution if they came out against the county executive or the governor. So they got together a group of people, and in all fairness, Governor Hogan was not in line with what this crazy county exec in Anne Arundel County was saying.
Right.
But this was right before Christmas. So all the restaurants, about 8, 10, 12 of them, came together. They had two filed lawsuits, and they said, enough. Now we're done.
Good.
And when they did, the county executive was shut down by the courts with a restraining order.
Oh, wow.
So why I'm saying this is, teachers, don't be afraid that you're going to get dinged by a union that you pay dues to, who's supposed to represent you so that you can do your best for our kids.
Exactly.
Enough is enough. All right. And until you all stand side by side, linking arms, you're not going to have the power against them. But if you do, you will. And I say that to you as a challenge. And if anybody wants to take me up on that, you email me at jennifer@charltoncommunications.com, and we'll have that chat, okay? So, because we'll help you, won't we?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
we would help you.
Definitely.
We would help you do that, because enough is enough. You're harming our kids.
I think the first big step to be would be during the election cycle, if you receive the Apple ballot in the mail, throw it away.
Tear it up.
Don't even look at it. Or if you look at it, the people that the union have nominated or backing, remember those names and don't vote for those people. Because the union doesn't won't put a person up for election if they can't control that person. If they don't have some say in what that person does, they're not going to want them to be in a position. So if those names are on the Apple ballot, you have to ask yourself, why are these people on this Apple ballot? And the other people who are running, why aren't they? So, like I said, the first thing I would do is throw the Apple ballot away.
So and I've not really delved, like you have, into the Board of Ed issues other than the opportunities I've had to speak with Brad over the years and get his perspective and some of the others that we've had on, April Miller and so forth. But and Sue Johnson was actually on with us. But I think that it's time for us to take more of an active role. How would you recommend that parents and the community get involved? Because, by the way, even if you don't have kids, it is in our best interest to make sure our kids turn out, because they're not sitting on the street corner, or they're not thugging, or they're not, you know, getting in gangs and doing bad things or drugging. So it is all of our interest to make sure that our kids turn out. How would you recommend people get activated and involved in the issues that face the community, from the Board of Ed to the union to the teachers, et cetera? How do we get involved?
Be aware. If your children are doing online school now, sit in and listen to what they're being taught. Hear how they're interacting with the teachers or what the teachers are saying. The Board of Education meetings you can go to. If you can't go to them, they're televised. Watch them. Be up to date on what's going on in your children's schools. Don't assume that you know what's going on. Know for a fact. Being an educated parent, and I don't mean book smart, I mean just in general about your children, it's not easy. It's like a full-time job. You need to be on top. You need to be involved. You need to go to school meetings. Talk with your teachers. Go to the Board of Education meetings. Talk to other parents. But you have to be present in your child's life to see what's going on, because you're going to be shocked at what you find out. Even if you just spend 2 minutes paying attention to what's going on, you're going to be shocked. I'm going to go ahead and say her name. Cindy Rose just knows what's going on. She's very active. She listens. She knows. And I've learned a lot from her just by just being quiet and listening to her talk. And like she's told me, the longer you're quiet, the more you listen, the more shocked you're going to be, the more upset you're going to be. And it's true. We're dealing with children. First and foremost, we got to stop indoctrinating them and telling them things. Let them find things for themselves. Let them learn. A good teacher just poses a question. That's all they do. They don't give you the answer. They ask the question and let the students figure it out. Let them decide amongst themselves.
It's not supposed to be a mind control.
Exactly.
Where you're sculpting kids into a particular political point of view or philosophies and so forth, and we know that's going on.
Oh, yeah.
But I also think we need to activate in terms of going to the Board of Ed meetings. You know, had the privilege of being in the room with General Michael Flynn when we had a press conference, and I actually had an opportunity to pose a question to him. We're not going to play it this week, but I'm going to bring some of the Tulsa information to you guys next week. It was amazing. But, you know, he said, go to the Board of Ed meetings, get involved, run for Board of Ed, run for City Council, run for County Council. So for those of you who are listening who you think, oh, no, not me, yes, you. So we're saying get involved.
Yes.
We can't all be the same rehashed people trying to do this on behalf of 250,000 people in Frederick County alone and millions across the state of Maryland and millions in this region. You guys got to activate. And I've been saying this to you for several weeks now. You got to get up off that chair and you got to start marching.
Oh, yeah.
Because until we put our boots on the ground in the different areas that concern us, we are relegating and delegating our authority and giving people like these unions more power than they deserve.
Oh, yeah.
So let's make sure that you, me, we are out there making the difference. So get on the county website for you, wherever you are, and look at when are the Board of Ed meetings. Go to them or sign in if it's virtual.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say something. There's been some nonsense around these virtual meetings because they have a way of filtering and allowing certain people to speak and others not to speak.
Yep.
So you got to be aware that's another means of controlling the dialogue.
Yes, definitely.
And remember what I said at the beginning, omitting the truth or misinforming us with information that simply isn't so, and there's nobody there to counter it. So if we're not there to counter it and tell, no, actually what happened was, and you tell your story, you know, then people, will better understand. And one thing I want to also do, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Success Happens. I'd like to thank Sweeties on the Creek, We're Scooping Now, and Kara Wynn, KW Photography and Design. We'll be right back.
Past editions of this program are available in the audio vault at WFMD.com.
Welcome back to Success Happens. This is Jen, and I have with me today Seth Eisenberg, and we've been talking about education. We're going to wrap this up, and then I'm going to bring a nurse on, and we're going to talk a little bit about, from her perspective, what she's witnessed, the COVID. And I think it's important for us to say something. Teachers, I mean, if there were ever an essential worker, it would be a teacher.
Yeah.
I mean, I know in my life, I look back 30 plus 40, okay, maybe longer. Okay. Teachers who made such an impact on my life, they were essential to who I am today. And the notion that they don't need to, you know, that they're being treated as non-essential workers is outrageous to me. Because an essential worker who works at Walmart, you were going to say this. I don't want to take your comment away.
Walmart's been open this entire time. Restaurants have been open. Other places have been open. And we have no problem with them being at work. And no one complains about, hey, you know, well, I have to go there. I think a teacher, like you were saying, is more important than a bag boy. Not that I'm knocking anybody's job, but when it comes down to it, this teacher is going to affect thousands of lives and form people's opinions and help them grow to be better people. But we're not trying to push them back into school because we're afraid or they're afraid. I'm more afraid of what's going on now. And it getting worse. I'm afraid that children are never going to be back in school full time. They're going to be sitting in front of a computer screen for the rest of their lives taking classes and not have that social interaction that they need. Kids could have been back in school months ago.
Do you want, just quickly so we can go to our next test, what is it you want the schools to do? What do you want the union to do? What do you want the Board of Ed to do?
I want the union to back off. Let teachers who want to go, better yet, let's do it this way. School should be open fully. If parents or teachers are afraid to go to school for whatever reason, don't come. We'll find substitutes. But it should be the parents' decision whether their kids go to school or not. It shouldn't be the Board of Education.
Amen.
It should not be the unions.
Amen. And here's the other thing. If you want to keep a society down and you want to crush us economically, keep doing what you're doing, unions. You're right on track.
Mm-hmm.
You're crushing businesses. You're crushing people's ability to earn a living while you're also hurting the kids. So you need to cut it out. Okay. So I want to bring on somebody who is actually going to be Anne Anonymous, who is a nurse from who has had in direct experience with COVID. And I want to welcome Anne to the call.
Hi.
Hi. Good morning. Listen, I wanted to ask you, and we're going to be a little bit quick here. So could you please, first of all, give us a brief understanding without disclosing where you work or what you do, your interaction with COVID up to this point?
I work for a vaccine company. We do give the Moderna vaccine. We also do a lot of COVID testing as well. So I've seen quite a few people actually come up positive with symptoms, I mean, major symptoms of COVID after being what they call fully vaccinated.
So do you have any thought about why they're showing positive and being sick after COVID vaccine? I mean, it's supposed to prevent it.
Well, it's actually not. This vaccine was never designed to stop transmission or infection. It was just designed to lower the symptoms of COVID. So, I mean, that's
one of the main reasons. Wow. So
if
it's only designed to lower the symptoms, why wouldn't they just use ivermectin and hydrochloroquine and some of these other treatments that do the same thing?
I agree, but there's no money in that. That's what I'm convinced of. I think that the people who have investments in these vaccine companies are kind of jumping for joy at the thought of even boosters coming up or yearly vaccines.
It's, as they call it, a nice residual income cash cow.
Yeah, I agree.
So have you, you know, I was privy to some conversations, and I've talked to many doctors directly about this, from America's Frontline Doctors. Dr. Simone Gold, had the pleasure of meeting her last week, Dr. Jeff Barkey, another gentleman who works with them, and this Dr. Christian Northrup, Dr. Tenpenny. There are a lot of doctors who are saying, whoa, 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 this thing is dangerous.
So, I agree completely.
Why do you agree?
I mean, there's many, many reasons. It's not just one or two. I mean, one of the main reasons is that I don't even call this a vaccine. It doesn't meet the definition of a vaccine. It's genetic manipulation. It doesn't stop you from transmitting or even catching COVID. It mutates every 10 hours is what I found through research. So these mutations are just going to lead to more boosters needed, which will make more mutations till, like, you've probably heard of antibiotic-resistant illnesses. It can do the same thing with the virus. So we may get a vaccine or treatment-resistant virus. And, I mean, this, you know, there's no liability from vaccine companies. That's been true since the 1980s.
Yeah, they're totally off the hook if people die.
Yeah. Yeah. Moderna, I don't know, not very many people are doing their research into these companies. They watch mainstream media or they listen to posts on social media and they just think, oh, it's scarce. I've got to go get it. You know, there might not be enough left. And that's like a total marketing ploy, I believe. But vaccine companies such as Moderna has never put a product successfully onto the market until now.
That's kind of scary. Just the fact that they've been a failure until now.
Yeah. So, I mean, as far as vaccines, they've actually been trying to bring it to market since the early 2000s after the first SARS outbreak, if you remember that. And all attempts with animal trials have failed. There's never been a human trial. We are, whoever gets this, is the human trial.
Well, there's a test that was done, and I heard this in a presentation. I'm going to verify the information, but there is concern that the long-term effects of this could be very dangerous.
I agree. Autoimmune disorders, there's been multiple problems that have been noted about pregnancy, miscarriages, infertility, neurological issues, thrombolytic issues has most recently been in the news, you know, with the blood clotting. Many cardiovascular physicians are citing multiple complications, heart attacks, stroke, just poor outcomes in general. And unfortunately, what's been predicted is this will happen maybe 18 months down the road or longer, and it's not going to actually be associated with the vaccine at that point, or low probability of that.
Okay, so what would you say to somebody who asked your advice as a professional whether they should take the vaccine?
Well, I mean, there is a site that's associated with the CDC called VAERS. It's the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. You can actually go on there and find all that's been reported so far of the adverse events. I think persons need to check that out before they get the vaccine, really look into it. I don't think people in general, they trust their doctors. I mean, for example, my parents, they went to the doctor and their doctor asked, did you get the vaccine yet? And they said no. And he called them ignorant, arrogant, and selfish.
Outrageous.
Outrageous. Yeah. I mean,
did they succumb? Did they succumb to his social nasty pressure?
They did.
They took the vaccine?
Yeah, without talking to me about it because they said they knew I'd be upset. So, I mean, and, you know, on top of that, I have, you know, children, and they're getting to the age where these vaccines are being suggested that the children take. And what this has done to our children with the lockdowns and not being able to go to school, having to stay 6 feet apart, wear masks. I mean, I don't even know what the damage this is going to do to our children. But, you know, I would never, under general circumstances, give an experimental treatment to my healthy child. I can't think of anyone who really would do that. And it's a 99 for like children that are, you know, babies up to 19 years old, it's a 99.997 survival rate.
Well, let me also say this.
The flu has less of a survival rate.
The doctors that I'm have access to are saying that there's concerns of the data is 366% increase in miscarriages. 366%.
Yeah.
They're also saying that they think that this can attach to the female and male organs and stuff so that that it can cause infertility, tumors, excessive bleeding in women during the menstrual cycle, et cetera. So people need to open up their eyes, open up their ears, and use their brains and question things that are said to them. Because if you're an okey-doke, like unfortunately your parents were.
Unfortunately.
And I know others who are, too, that I care about deeply who have done this. And they're not listening to me either. So we have to say a lot of prayers for people. At this point, there is no reversal for the vaccine. Once you got it, you got it. So I understand. I have reached out to Johnson & Johnson. I understand they may be coming back on the market. We're going to do a little bit more research on that.
It is back on the market as of yesterday.
Okay, very good. I knew that was a hot topic. As you and I were speaking, I think it came across. Is that an mRNA product?
No. Pfizer, Moderna, or mRNA. Johnson & Johnson uses a different, like a carrier vaccine. It still instructs human cells. It's a genetic manipulation, but it's not the same as the mRNA.
So would you say it's less lethal? I mean, look, they had, what, 7 cases of women with blood clots? It was very insignificant.
Correct.
And then, but how many people have died from Moderna and Pfizer? But they're not talking about
that.
So it seemed to me, here's what I came to. They have a political war going on right now between the Moderna-Pfizer camp and the Johnson & Johnson, and I'm rooting for Johnson & Johnson because I do not trust Pfizer and Moderna. Now, I've said that publicly, and they may come after me. you know, who knows, right? There it is. But to me, it something doesn't smell quite right, doesn't pass the sniff test around the shutting down of Johnson & Johnson when there has been way more issues, because I've heard of it from a guy I know in Britain, that they've had major issues with Pfizer over there.
Yeah. AstraZeneca as well, abroad. But the Johnson & Johnson, if you want to talk about easier, it's a one dose. And it's also easier to store.
All right. Listen, on that note, Ann Anonymous, thank you so much for coming on with us. We will have more information for you guys. Open up your ears. God bless you. Have a great, great week. And don't be an okey-doke. Get active. We love you.
Radio 930, WFMD, Frederick.